Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Capitalism. A Ghost Story by Arundhati Roy is a sharp, politically charged work of non-fiction that examines how modern India has been reshaped by rapid economic liberalization, corporate power, and deepening inequality. Framed as an extended essay, the book looks beyond celebratory narratives of growth to ask who profits, who pays, and what is lost when democracy is pressured by concentrated wealth. Roy connects high finance, philanthropy, media influence, and state policy to on-the-ground realities such as displacement, environmental damage, and social conflict. She also explores how the language of development can obscure coercion, and how institutions meant to protect citizens can be hollowed out when private interests dominate public life. Written in her characteristic mix of reportage, moral argument, and literary force, the book invites readers to consider capitalism not only as an economic system, but as a set of power relations that can haunt a nation's political and ethical foundations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the making of a new Indian economy and its hidden costs. A central thread in the book is the transformation of India under market reforms and the way a growth story can conceal a transfer of risk and suffering onto those with the least power. Roy treats capitalism not as an abstract theory, but as a lived system that reorganizes land, labor, and citizenship. She highlights how policies that prioritize investment, infrastructure, and privatization can produce winners who gain unprecedented influence while simultaneously creating vast populations whose lives become more precarious. The promise of jobs and prosperity is contrasted with the realities of informal work, weakened protections, and communities pushed out of their homes or off their land. The analysis emphasizes that development is often measured through aggregate indicators that fail to account for what people lose, including security, dignity, and social cohesion. By linking macroeconomic narratives to specific social outcomes, the book encourages readers to examine whose voices are amplified in national planning and whose experiences are treated as acceptable collateral damage. The topic also underscores how inequality is not merely a side effect, but can become a structural feature of the new order. Secondly, corporate power, state alignment, and the shrinking of democracy, Roy argues that democracy can be formally intact while substantively weakened when corporate interests shape policy agendas, public debate, and institutional priorities. The book explores the mechanisms through which wealth translates into political leverage, including lobbying, patronage networks, and the revolving door between business and government. It also considers how large corporations benefit from favorable access to natural resources, land acquisition, and regulatory flexibility, often with the state acting as facilitator rather than neutral arbiter. This alignment can blur the line between public purpose and private gain, leaving ordinary citizens with fewer avenues to challenge decisions that affect their lives. Roy also draws attention to the way media ecosystems and public relations can normalize corporate-friendly narratives, portraying dissent as anti-development or unpatriotic. The result is a climate in which accountability becomes harder to demand and democratic participation is reduced to periodic elections rather than continuous oversight. This topic invites readers to think about democracy as a practice requiring robust institutions, transparency, and protections for disagreement, not simply a constitutional label. Thirdly, philanthropy and NGOs as power structures, not simple charity. One of the book's most provocative concerns is the role of philanthropy and large non-governmental organizations in shaping public life. Roy treats big philanthropy as a political actor that can set priorities, influence discourse, and redirect activism into channels that are more compatible with elite interests. Rather than assuming that charitable giving is automatically benevolent, she scrutinizes how philanthropic funding can create dependencies, define what counts as a legitimate cause, and professionalize dissent in ways that limit its disruptive potential. The book questions whether certain forms of NGO-led advocacy can unintentionally depoliticize structural conflicts by focusing on management, metrics, and policy tweaks instead of power imbalances. Roy also explores the branding of compassion, where social problems become opportunities for image building and moral authority. This topic does not deny that NGOs can do meaningful work. Instead, it asks readers to analyze incentives and governance, including who funds whom, what agendas are advanced, and which voices are sidelined. The broader insight is that money, even when labeled as charity, can reorganize movements and reshape the boundaries of acceptable critique. Fourthly, displacement, resource extraction, and the human cost of development, Roy connects the drive for economic expansion to conflicts over land, minerals, forests, and water, emphasizing how resource extraction often relies on the dispossession of marginalized communities. The book highlights that large projects such as mines, dams, and industrial corridors are frequently justified as national necessities, while the people who lose homes, livelihoods, and cultural ties are treated as obstacles to progress. Roy pays attention to the language used to sanitize coercion, including terms like relocation, rehabilitation, and public interest, which can mask uneven bargaining power and inadequate compensation. She also examines how environmental degradation compounds social harm, affecting health, agriculture, and local ecologies in ways that are rarely captured by cost-benefit analyses. This topic frames displacement not as an unfortunate exception, but as a recurring feature of a development model that depends on cheap access to land and resources. Readers are encouraged to see how legal procedures, policing, and bureaucratic complexity can be used to manage resistance and accelerate extraction. The underlying message is that ethical development must account for consent, ecological limits, and justice, not only for economic output. Lastly, dissent, insurgency, and the politics of labeling resistance. The book examines how states and elites respond to resistance, particularly when protests challenge major economic interests. Roy explores the ways dissent can be delegitimized through labels that portray protesters as extremists, criminals, or threats to national unity. This framing can justify heightened security measures, surveillance, and restrictions on civil liberties, creating an atmosphere in which questioning development policies becomes risky. The discussion also points to the complexity of conflict zones, where grievances over land and livelihood can intersect with insurgent politics, and where simplistic narratives obscure the conditions that fuel unrest. Roy emphasizes that when peaceful democratic channels fail to address systematic injustice, anger can intensify and polarization can deepen. The topic encourages readers to distinguish between genuine public safety concerns and the strategic use of security discourse to protect economic projects from scrutiny. It also raises questions about whose violence is normalized and whose is condemned, and how moral categories are deployed to manage public perception. Ultimately, Roy presents dissent as a vital indicator of democratic health, even when it is uncomfortable, disruptive, or inconvenient for those in power. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a critical, argument-driven look at contemporary India, especially those interested in political economy, human rights, environmental justice, and the relationship between markets and democracy. It will also appeal to readers of Roy's broader nonfiction who value moral clarity, investigative synthesis, and a willingness to challenge comforting national myths. The benefit is not simply learning facts about policy or corporate influence, but gaining a framework for asking better questions about power, who decides, who profits, and who bears the consequences when development is pursued at any cost. That lens can sharpen how readers interpret news, philanthropic campaigns, and political rhetoric far beyond India. Compared to many books that either celebrate liberalization or critique it in technical terms, Roy's work stands out for connecting institutional decisions to lived human outcomes and for interrogating the cultural stories that make inequality seem normal. It is worth buying if you want a compact but forceful narrative that links economics to ethics, and if you prefer a perspective that treats democracy as something that must be defended against subtle forms of capture, not only against overt authoritarianism. If you would like to support Arundhati Roy, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.